Please turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. We'll be looking at some verses. I believe we're going to look at verses 17 through 26. This is the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, probably his last miracle before he died on the cross for us and rose again the third day. But it does have to deal with resurrection and that of Lazarus, you remember. Beginning at verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days. Of course, that's Lazarus. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Walking distance, probably 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I want to talk to you about, I guess my title is Life Goes On. And life goes on because Jesus goes on. He is alive today. Now, when I say life goes on, I'm not talking about just living the old mundane, boring kind of in and out, you know, going to work every day and coming back and washing the clothes and the dishes and cleaning the house and keeping everything in the yard right. No, I'm talking about living in the presence of God Almighty. I'm talking about the kind of life that is worth the living, but also gives you the virtue, of course, but also the vigor. That's the word I was looking for. To live each day and face the challenges of life. It is not easy to live in this life on earth in these human bodies. We're not in heaven yet. And the problem we have as believers is a spiritual warfare that we have to fight. Because we don't understand why things have to happen. Mary and Martha didn't understand why their brother died, why he was sick. And we need to understand, everybody doesn't get over their sickness. I remember holding a 2-year-old son in my arms and feeling the breath go out of him. He is in heaven today. But the problem we have with that is not realizing that all of our life is about God. See, we are God's creation. Everything in this world is God's. And one of the problems that messes up our aspect of life, our response of life and circumstances, is that we forget who God is and who we are. And it's not about us, it's about God. And it's not about Lazarus. You know, Jesus, these ladies questioned Jesus, if you'd have come here. And Jesus had already said, this sickness is not unto death, but its sickness is to the glory of God. And so we're here for one purpose today, and every day is to glorify God. And what a blessing it is to have that privilege, and that's what it is, because did you know that every breath you breathe is from God? That we are creatures of Almighty God. And so he has brought us here to this place in time, albeit we have struggles. Some of us have lots of them. Some of us not so much. Some of us have been wiser in our choices in life. and some of us have messed up really bad, but life goes on. And the thing about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it manifests to us that it's not you don't ever quit, because God doesn't quit. You need to understand that, and you need to believe that what Jesus is telling these sisters, look, they said he's dead. Don't even, I mean, Martha was almost to the point, he's already dead. I mean, they get to the point, he's already stinking in the grave 4 days. It doesn't matter. See, Jesus Christ is the only one that can be 4 days late, so to speak, and be right on time. Don't ever think that your calendar and God's work on the same pace. They do not. What we need to try to ask God to do is help us set our clocks by his, and see, not try to make him set his by ours, which is our human nature to do. But what I want to try to say this morning is that because Christ rose, and that is such a great event. It is the greatest event that has ever happened. We're celebrating Easter Sunday, this Lord's Day, you know. I know you know that. But to know that the resurrection of Jesus is the most, there's a more valid proof of his resurrection than anything. If you had that in a court somewhere and you wanted to prove that Jesus really rose from the dead, you would have more than 500 witnesses, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that saw literally the body, the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ after he had died, after he had been in the tomb. Over 500 plus the apostles saw it. I mean, that is evidence that this God man, Jesus was God and Jesus was man, but he had to become a man so he could get on the cross and die for us. Why did he have to die for us? Because if he didn't die for us, we would do it. Because God is holy, and either somebody is going to die for sins or somebody's going to pay, because he said the wages of sin is death. And I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. And I know that you are. You're going to have to figure that out, though. You're not going to believe it from me. Only the Holy Spirit can teach you that you're a sinner. But once you grasp that, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ will be the most comforting, the most motivating, the most emboldening event that ever has taken place. Why? Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is like saying paid in full for our sins. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is like God saying, I accept your sacrifice for Randy Waters, for Bob, for Vic, for Blake, for John, for all, that's what he said. Jesus Christ, by rising from the grave, manifest that our sins have been paid in full. And that's a blessing. Don't you think it is? You know what? I didn't plan to do this, but I'm going to ask you to. Yesterday, I went over to Debbie and Glenn Deal's for the Easter egg hunt to be with my grandchildren and the church family, and I was asked to give a devotional, sort of impromptu, so the little ones, 2 to 7-year-olds were going to find Easter eggs. So I was going to, while they were hiding them, give this devotional, obviously about the resurrection. So I did, tried to. I mean, you get around 2 to 5, 6-year-olds, you better be ready. And so we were in the den of Debbie and Glenn's house, and we were sitting around. So I just said, now, what is Easter about? And they said, Easter is about Jesus dying. I said, what did he die for? A 5-year-old said, he died for our sins. I said, you got it right. Now, that 5-year-old, as innocent as they could be, can say that? Man, Some old hardened sinner like me ought to say it lots louder. And then I said this. What is sin? Another one said, bad behavior. He's got it right. Oh, I mean, it's like children. That's what we're going to understand. You don't have to have some theological degree to understand the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the cross of Calvary is a simple symbol, but it's a symbol of death, and it's paramount to our faith. And then I ask, does anybody know what a substitute is? My 5-year-old grandson, Jackson, said, I don't know what a substitute is. A substitute is like when my teacher isn't there and a substitute, another person comes in and takes her place. That is right. That's what Jesus did for us. Do you get it? Do you get the grace of God in your life that He substituted Himself for us? That He didn't have to do that. But it's the only way He could get us to God. And when I'm talking about life going on, what really matters? You might be here today. You might have, your business might be just flourishing. You might have the health of a lifetime. Everything in your world might be hunky-dory. But I'm going to tell you what, deep down, if God is not in it, and there's a longing there, you might be successful, you might have status, you might have good looks, you might have a big place, lots of money and all that, but if you don't have God, if you don't have peace in your heart about sin in your life and what is going to happen to you when you die, then, my friends, you cannot live and you cannot be in a life that goes on with the greatness and fervor and glory to God that you really want. There's a longing there. And so what the world does is mask our lives and tell us what we got to have. You know, we really need this. This is what makes you look better. This is what makes you live longer. Take this supplement. Have you noticed how many supplements are everywhere? I mean, there's all kinds of supplements, from your brain to your toes. I mean, everything. But the one thing that is vital is the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. Because without it, we don't have anything. Life goes on. Now, what I want to say in just a few minutes, and what I want to say is this, because of the resurrection, if you fell down yesterday, you can get up today. I mean, I'm talking about a life that goes on. After it's been devastated, because if the cross of Calvary teaches us anything, it surely ought to show us that here is a situation that looks hopeless. I mean that it's hurtful, horrible. And it shows us that it never diminished the love of God. Do you think because Jesus died on the cross that horrible way that God didn't love Him? Heavens, no. Do you think that when you go through problems and trials and failures that God doesn't love you? If you think that, you're wrong. The cross of Calvary proves that God can make beautiful things out of some horrible things. I've said before, God is the only one that can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. What I mean by that, He can take a life that has been broken. He can take a life that has been lived apart from God. And God can make that crook draw something straight. And He does that by hooking it to the cross of Calvary. That's what God does. And He's good at it. But let God have His way in your life. If you want life to go on, you understand that Christ died for you, that He took your place. And the one thing that it does, it gives us, when I say life goes on, what I want to try to say this morning, a few minutes we have, is we can have assurance. I'm not talking about life just, you know, goes on, because really in the back of our minds, probably as you get a little age on you, you're going to talk about dying sometime. We are not immortal as far as our human goes, you'll see. So what does the cross do? We're going to have some assurance. We're going to understand that in this life, there's not just hope in this life, not in this life only, but in all those that rejoice and look for his coming. Now, we couldn't look for his coming if he hadn't rose from the grave, could we? He did rise from the grave, and he's coming again. So we have the assurance then that our sins have been forgiven. That is a big deal. Now, the devil, he is still around accusing God's people. He will make you feel unfit. He will make you feel inadequate. He will make you feel guilty. But what you have to do is call him the liar that he is, and you trust in the resurrection of Christ. Because Jesus took your place, he rose, and you not only was with him when he died, but you was with him when he rose. So we have assurance in this, that our sins have been paid for. Secondly, I want you to understand that there is life after death that is proven by the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ brings life after death. You're not going to like this, what I'm going to say. It's going to hurt your feelings. It didn't mine. Probably not long after you die, you will be forgotten. You understand that? Brother Rodney, you're shaking your head mighty fast here. But I mean, that's true. That's true. I mean, there's preachers out here on this wall. I'm one of them. I'm still here so far. But let me be forgotten. I mean, we don't like that feeling. But there's its truth. There's people sitting in these pews, and you have had loved ones that you might think of every now and then, but pretty much they've been forgotten. I mean, we got to know that if you wanna show that the world can't live without you. See, life's gonna go on when we die. I'll tell you how you do that. You get you a bucket of water. Fill it up a bucket with water, and you ball your fist up real tight, and you go to the bottom of that bucket in that water, and you pull it out real fast. And if it leaves a hole in the water, then the world can't do without you. Think about it. That's how it is. We are alive. This is like that. But here's the deal. Because Christ rose from the grave, that makes us all immortal. It does, and what a blessing to know that. Now, I'm glad Randy Waters isn't going to be known by his preaching or by this, that, and the other. Rather, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lamb's, I'd say, because he was slain for us. And it's written there with indelible ink. So just the fact that you won't be forgotten is manifest by the resurrection of Jesus. And then also I wanted to share with you that we have Christ with us right now. Now, that's the only way life can go on. Because you and I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But we got to understand that Christ is with us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the way we know it, because we serve a living Savior. He's with us. I might have mentioned this already, but I was thinking the apostles were much more bolder in their faith after the resurrection. Most of them ran away, you know, they hid. They didn't want any of that cross either. But when they come to grips with the resurrection and the Lord being resurrected and Thomas felt his nail prints, or never felt them. He saw them, that Jesus said, feel them. He didn't have to. He saw the prints of those nails and the spear scar in Jesus' side. And you remember Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And so what a powerful presence God gives us in the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. We do not serve a dead Jesus. He is alive. He did die, but he didn't stay dead. That's so important. He paid our sin debt, but God raised him up because God said, you know, I accept that. Their sins are paid for. And then also, you have the assurance, and I have the assurance, that we have, because of the resurrection, an advocate in heaven. Prayer is powerful. We mentioned that with Sister Pat and others. You know the power of prayer. Sister Brendan, Brother Wendell, and others. Well, how could that be? That would not be unless Christ was resurrected. See, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one comes to God but by me. That includes prayer. And the very light of the resurrection of Christ, he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice the order of that. He doesn't say life and then he says resurrection and then the life. God has to raise us up spiritually. Because we're dead spiritually because of sin in our natural life, passed down from Adam until Christ resurrects us or quickens us or gives us the new birth. And when that happens, then we have life. And it's a life that we feel the need of a Savior, that we struggle with our sin. And do not tell me you don't struggle. If you tell me you don't struggle, I will either have to say you're lying or you're just not even feeling any of God yet, because I can tell you struggle is real for the believer, because you have the Holy Spirit within you, but you still have to deal with that unredeemed flesh. But because of the resurrection, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We have an advocate in heaven. He ever liveth, the scripture says, to do what? Make intercession for us. Did you know he's interceding for you right now? I hope he is with my preaching, because I need it so much. I feel so inadequate, and I do know that. But also, I wanted to say this about the fact of the resurrection, of life goes on. We have power to live in the resurrection power of Christ. It's not our power, it's his. See, God gives a power to those that he died for, and what a blessing that is. The feeling that you have, the strength that you have, that you know, that comes by God's grace. You know why God says, my grace is sufficient for you? When we are weak, the apostle says, then we're strong. That's because of the resurrection. What a glorious power and what a grace that is to live a godly life. You know, I remember a friend of mine one time in Douglas, Georgia, who had cancer. He was a young man then, and I remember calling him. He had two sons. And I remember telling him, I said, Martin, I said, I want you to know that we've been praying for you. It was a terminal kind of sickness that he had at that time. And I'll never forget what Martin said. He said, you know, Randy, I really appreciate the prayers of all the people. But he said, what really has done me more good and I felt more comfort in was the other night my sons called me and they said, Daddy, we have been praying that God would heal you. But we want you to know that even if he doesn't, we are going to be okay. That's what he said. He said, you know, that meant so much to me. You know, I suppose one of the hardest ways it is for us to die is to know we're leaving our loved ones. Yet, did you know that because of the resurrection, we have the power of Christ? Christ will be with them. They will be okay. God is still in control. So we don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to be flingy about our inadequacy. What do? We trust Jesus, that's what we do. We believe Him. Because He said to Martha and Mary, didn't He? I'm the resurrection life. Believest. You believe that? You shall never die. Believest thou this? It's kind of a warning to us. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe that life goes on? Some of you have left, have lost loved ones. They're in heaven. I've told you about my son. You may have children or parents, grandparents, spouses. I'm going to tell you, you'll see them again. You will. And I look forward to seeing my son in heaven. But I see that and believe that because of the resurrection. If it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ, it'd be a void there. Well, how do you get there? But Jesus, raised Lazarus from the dead. He just calls his voice. They that hear the voice of the God shall live. This is a type of every believer. And we should thank God for it. We also have the assurance of a new body. Now, you might go to the gym 2 or 3 times a week. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to tell you that there's a day coming you're going to have just the body you've always wanted because of Jesus Christ's resurrection. You won't have any pain. You won't have any frailties or weakness. There won't be any knee replacements up there. There won't. We'll have a body like Christ, fashioned like He is. What a joy that is. What a blessing to know. It's because of God's resurrection of Jesus Christ that we'll have new bodies likened to His. The Scriptures tells us that in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. But I suppose the reason to really live life like it does go on is because Jesus is coming back. The Redeemer King is coming back to this very earth. This same Jesus, the Scripture said, is coming back. In like manner as you've seen Him go. And so what should that do to us in our faith? It should say, we should live each day like He's coming back. I tell the true story of when I learned to drive a tractor on the farm. My daddy used to let me drive the tractor. And I remember him first starting to drive the tractor. And I think I was plowing soybeans or something over there on the farm. And I remember the biggest problem I had, I thought, would be for me not to be plowing and my daddy right along that road and see me not doing it and think I was just stopped or something. And I remember the citron vines were getting in the cultivator sweeps and I'd have to stop and clean off the sweeps of citron vines. And what bothered me is my daddy might come along the road and see me out there stopped and think I was just goofing off or something. I still remember that. Why? Because it meant something to me, and I knew He was coming back. He didn't just put me out on the field and said to plow. I knew He was coming back. And Jesus is not putting you out and just saying, you plow and you do life. He's coming back. And He will give you the power. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the motivation. And He's taken care of your sins. He's justified you freely by His grace. Now, here's the deal. Don't let forgiveness get confused with consequences. In other words, we sin. But I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I have sinned in my life, and I'm still suffering the consequences of that sin. You got to understand that. But that's okay. So what the resurrection does, because the only thing that Jesus takes, listen to me now, from earth to heaven, you know what it is? It's His scars. That's the only thing He took. but he still got them. You know, we'll see them one day. Those scars, the nail prints, the spear wounds for us on the cross. And you and I will have some scars. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me. God has given you a cross just for you and just for me. You don't get discouraged with it. You fight the good fight of faith because Jesus is alive and his power is great. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you. May the Lord bless us and keep us close to him, to follow him, to believe him, and to trust him as life goes on, whether we want it to or not. Every day God gives us is a gift. I know you understand that. But what I have a problem understanding, and you may have too, is how we live it, is how we give it back to him. We need to live the resurrected life of Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't have to have everything we think we have to have. But the one thing we have to have is Jesus. And you know what? Because of the resurrection, we can have Jesus Christ for breakfast every morning. And we ought to. Do not start a day off without the Lord in your life. You get God right, you're going to have everything else right. You get off track, he'll get you back. Martha was questioning Jesus, seeming like even belittling him. If he'd have been here, my brother had died. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing his word. She didn't have to ask the question. You get into God's word. You want to have to, you know, life goes on. You know how to do life, this word's about it. It's the manufacturing handbook that God has given his creatures to live by. May the Lord bless us. Let's bow. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for loving us so much and giving up so much for us and forgiving us for giving up so little for you. Lord, help us to do some of the dying that you have done so completely. Help us, Lord, not to let our circumstances get in the way of our fellowship with you. Lord, keep our eyes focused on you, Heavenly Father, on Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, guide and direct us. It's okay to convict us, Lord, when we need it. Help us feel the guilt of our unbelief and the waywardness of our own lives by nature. And bring us back to your fountain of grace in confession and repentance. And help us feel the cleansing power that is brought forth from the gushing waters of the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.